Good evening. Tonight is July 16th, 2017. And tonight our students are gathered here at the Rosenkreutz Institute in Ramona, California. And tonight we're continuing in our series on enlightenment and illumination. This particular subject, as you have noticed from the previous lectures, if you've listened to them, and it is that you can tell that there's something here that's completely different than normally people think of as enlightenment and illumination. And so I want to clarify again this, which we call enlightenment. This concept that we think of as enlightenment comes from history, our historical studies, and it was built upon that grim age, which is termed the Middle Ages, but also there was an age between it. And that's really important, because if you had studied in our courses on the chemical wedding of Christian Rosenkreutz, and I hope you do if you haven't, but most of our students have, and it is there that we see the beginning of the development and emergence out of the streams of time and history, the alchemists. And this is a very important development because it forms the foundation which later becomes our sciences. And this is going to tell you what also is happening in philosophy, such as mathematics. And that's going to lead people into navigation. But more importantly, the mathematics led people into the higher spiritual philosophies, as we see in Hegel. Now, these higher spiritual philosophies only excited people over another factor, and that is what you might call or understand from this, which is called the reformations and the counter-reformations of the churches in Europe. Now, this shuffling around of these forces, this shuffling around of these impulses, especially these religious impulses, is a result of changes in philosophy. So when we look for the sources of these, we can see that it traces back to those very powerful impulses which are descending into human beings and enlightening them. But in this case, the enlightenment is and illuminating their inner souls. So the souls on earth that are being illuminated are able to see the material. And this is an important consideration for us. Illumination today has become a philosophical term, and so has enlightenment. So we can understand that these keep going up into the consciousness and reinforcing that aspect of the human soul which separates the human being from the worlds of nature. His own being, it justifies his isolated form. So we have to pay attention to this, that philosophy is more or less in the idea that the world is an illusion, that the real world is the world of our soul. And so it is that more and more the soul is considered to be of a nefarious character or something not so stable, the more it is that something has to come into our philosophy to substantiate that the soul is perfectly fine. Either that, or we just accept the soul the way it is and don't mess around with it too much. What that means is that the soul that is preparing itself out of the future and descending into us is far different than the soul that we build up as physical earthly beings. How that spirit in nature is met is also going to be on the other side of us, and that is another group of spiritual beings. So we can say that there are spiritual beings that empower us to have our soul to be attached very strongly to a spiritual nature, which really is going to build up our understanding of the past. It's going to build up our understanding of that which comes down to us as a historical human stream of culture of art. But I want you to pay attention to this that we're going to say here, and that is it's really in the traditions of our human culture to understand that the art itself was really not able to portray completely the human being. But what it could portray, and very clearly did portray, was the suffering of the human soul. It could portray the tragedy of collaborating, the tragedy of companionship, the tragedy of love, the tragedy of love and brotherhood, and also the avarice and greed of, and the changing nature of the human being, especially the changing nature, as that is part of the earth. Our natures are increasingly becoming more and more susceptible to the earth forces the more that we penetrate, the more that we go into the worlds of nature. And so it is that increasingly, the further we go back, the more we find that, culturally speaking, mankind as a whole is more and more connected with nature. And that means he's going to either be in a stable condition towards the nature eventually, and that means that the cosmos is satisfied with the soul and man. And as we come forward, we see there is something that's entering into human beings which gives them something of an incentive to freedom. And then they have to justify this and eventually a total break. So we can see this depicted in smaller and smaller cycles of our dramas. So what would have been in ancient ages something that took many thousands and thousands and thousands of years to occur, eventually these cycles became much more close together, and so that eventually it became something of a lifetime. And so we see something flip in a lifetime, for instance, when we read in Homer's work, and there we see the figure of Odysseus, and in a lifetime something dramatic changes for him. In a lifetime, something in Achilles. In just the lifetime of Agamemnon and Menelaus. In the lifetime of Helen. These are very important figures for us. They represent great spiritual ages. These people had the spirituality of long streams of spiritual streaming, and they represented in themselves the characteristics which were then deposited at the doorsteps of humanity and then locked away in the treasures of the soul. And so it is that we can feel that as the age of the Greeks came to an end, the poets were looking for that those characteristics in human beings. They were looking for those characteristics in human beings to take on a new form. So when we come to Jesus of Nazareth and the disciples, and especially the beloved disciple, there we have the emergence of the initiates, the emergence of the masters and disciples. These are picked by a cosmic being to take on these roles again. So they're going to go forward after this. So something is consecrated here. Something is given out as a karma, a beautiful karma, a streaming karma. So my friends, you might ask yourself, well, what does this have to do with? It really has to do with the fact that the light is going to be ensouled. Just like your soul has within it, you might say, if you were a philosophical student, you might say, my soul sees ideas, or I see ideas, and I'm going to go write those ideas. So I've been enlightened. And in my enlightenment, I stick to this track and this path. And so as long as you follow those particular principles, you feel that you're following the light. And that is an independent form of it. So you are self-creating. You are working in a self-ennobling way. But this does not help science. If I were to say like this, I don't bother with the sun out there, because why should I bother with the sun? I have a sun inside of me. And so when we read or study the spiritual paths of today, often what's hidden in the philosophies is this self-ennobling characteristic. And when people are picking that out and utilizing that to a further, taking that to a further extent, they're actually going away from the subject of the modern age, which is that it is also the sun in our cosmos that wants you to know it as a spiritual being. Doesn't want you to just know it as helium. But of course, if you are of a certain nature, and I'm going to add this so you understand this, if you are of a certain nature, then the sun doesn't want you to know it other than as a being full of hydrogen. Does that make sense to you now? Just like you don't want everybody to know you. You have to understand, you have to feel that the cosmos is not just there for you to just peel it apart. And of course, people do. And people do peel each other apart too, only to a certain extent. And then we say, this is private. My friends, this is private. So if you understand what is the battle going on within our society today, it is going to be over what is private. What is in fact yours? And so increasingly over time, people are erasing themselves. They are becoming more and more non-existent to the science that is proclaiming that they can know everything about you. What that means is what is in the earth is everything about you, according to those particular philosophies. And that means that the enlightenment of a human being is just the ideas that are found within the human soul. People are very satisfied with this. This seems to be very comfortable. But why, in one sense? Well, it takes a lot of work to understand that if you were to penetrate into the cosmos, if you were to open yourself up to it, what would you do and why would you do it? See, so it takes work. It takes a lot of knowledge, but a knowledge that man cannot preconceive. So if you're thinking what your friends would think of as the spirit of nature, they're going to think of nature as something they understand as the objects of nature. But that, and as far as they perceive it, is really just as good as looking at a photograph. There is really not much there. And to say that this is the spirit of nature is really, really to miss the nature altogether. What we're pointing out is that it takes a lot of work to say within us, to let it rise within us, that we really are looking at a picture of nature. And if we can come to the realization that there is something that we need to have within ourselves that grows within ourselves that allows us to compensate for this, and that is that nature likes to be private too. There's something about nature that needs that privacy. There's something about nature that needs that hidden form of it. How much of that is within us? And then we discover for our own being, there is a lot of our own hidden nature too. And this becomes a perilous path for us if we cannot feel within ourselves the source of illumination. If we can feel that there is a source for which we can become illumined and then go to that source and discover how to utilize it, how to be able to see the characteristics within us, how to be able to see deeper and deeper into the cosmic world, because the cosmic world also is having the power to shine a light within your being from the stars, from the sun. But what is it that's going to attract you? What is it going to attract to you, the cosmic beings in the first place? And that is that for a human being to understand that the ego that he builds up during the life and utilizes that ego in as clever way as he can to achieve what he can and what he wants and how he will have it is also of a certain timely nature. It only can go on for a certain amount of time. And then the soul begins to feel exhausted. We begin to lose power. So we have to realize that the light is not just light. The light carries with it a power. Now, if you contemplate what happens to the plants, you can see that with the plants, they can grow that form in them, which causes the fruits. With a human being, there are fruits as well. But what or where are they found? And how do they grow and what do they do? And also, we see the metamorphosing of the creatures. We see how the butterfly and all these different forms of the creatures have a power of metamorphosis. And then when we look within our own humanity, we see how the woman can have a child and a very, very large object can come out of her belly and then discharge itself or be discharged, and then she can heal right up. If the same thing in a similar way were to occur in a male, it would be so perilous for his organization that we would say for sure that he must die. It is not something that could ever occur in the body of a male, but it can occur because of the nature of a female. So the nature of a female is really quite different, and she holds within her forces that are connected to it. These particular forces are of a soul nature as well. If you were to consider that the darker forms, which are illuminated through the light, also create those beautiful forms that we know of as color. The light, in its interacting with the darkness, is the conditions to create the different forms of color. And out of the different forms of color, also we can feel from it comes those different signatures of substance. We know that certain substances have colors which have attached to them fragrance and sweetness or bitterness. And so it is that the mineral forms is revealed in the colors. When we look all the way down to the mineral, there we see there, that is where color is actually forming itself. And why? It's because the mineral has purified itself. Through every conditions of the earth, through all the conditions of the earth and all of the powers of the earth, and then to arrive at the mineral, it is really here that we see that this is a deposit of the gods upon the earth. This is what they've left in the earth. And so it's true to say that the gems of the earth, those things that we can hardly understand, those things which were coveted by kings in past ages, which people still marvel at, the gold and the silver and the copper. And what is it that is within these? It is the purified forces of the wills of the beings of the earth. So the beings of the earth in all the different ages, all of that spirit is unlocked in some secret way by the mineral. By the alchemist, when he is contemplating in his own pure consciousness, in his own pure soul. Now, I want you to think of the soul as being able to have within it a special spiritual fire. And then you get the key to it. So if you take the mineral and put it into a fire, you can do marvelous things with the mineral. When the soul has fired itself, and what is it here that makes the soul to be fiery? Well, in our work on the chemical wedding of Christian Rosenkreutz, he comes to an altar, and it is in the room where Venus lay upon her bed, and there's an inscription. When the last fruit is melted from the tree, then Venus will arise and awaken. And then we see this tree, and there the tree is growing fruits. Around the tree are four flames. And the Christian Rosenkreutz asks of the four flames, what about them, to his page? And his page says, I don't know what they mean. And that's the truth of it. The four flames represent those forces enkindled within the human etheric nature. Those forces need special specially prepared astrality in order to form themselves in the flames. And so there are the four joinings here that initiates need in order to be able to bring it about that this fire is in a certain balance. This is important for us as a consideration and a symbol. It symbolically represents the four forms of our consciousness that have to do with our etheric nature: the chemical ether, the light, the life ether, and the reflecting ether. These have to be awakened in us in order for us to be able to see how the soul has melted those fruits of the spirit, actually the metals, and how they flow into us as a blood. And so the light itself, this light itself, is turning itself back into the spiritual powers as well. So when we see how the light has taken up within it that force or that power, which we see in evaporation, when the water is going up into the spheres, when it goes up out of its bodily nature, there it is also that the human being comes to his own ascending form. And he has then to be in the presence of this, which is Venus. This Venus, which is in a restful state, she is contemplating the love of the cosmic worlds. There she must rest. This is her role as a being which is taking up the spiritual substance upwards and then bringing them downwards. And so it is that for our spiritual development, also we come at a certain stage to realize that many of the spiritual beings are working in just that manner where they dream and we can dream into their dream. The human being needs that light, that those four forms of the light on the altar. This is the picture that we have come to the place where the beings have left a sign behind for us. They have entered into four doorways. They have gone and left these four signs for us. This is a beautiful experience to feel the corners of the world. You feel how the cosmic space has opened up completely to this. So if you were to see the world above, they're going outwards into the cosmic worlds, and there we have the symbol here of the square. This squaring form is the earthly consciousness, that which can measure, that which can fulfill itself as a mathematic. And then we see that the physical body is actually there as its spiritual nature. So there we have the sleeping form, and then we have the four candles, which are the picture of our etheric nature, which is guarding our physical nature. Very, very important consideration here. Now the fruits of the spirit that are descending are melting into our consciousness always, always melting into it. They're being reformed and then melting into us. This is how we experience the day. This is really, these fruits are really the planets of the microcosm being. So there is a tree that grows these. This is the tree of our ancestors. This is the tree of the gods that tend, that actually are part of our own karma, that come and tend this. And so it is that at times in your spiritual development, you can perceive, you can go and talk to these beings and feel within yourself, now is my time to go talk to these spiritual beings. And there you will find that the beings of your friends in this spiritual community that we have as the Rosenkreutz Institute, the companions of this karma, actually are also of a higher nature. This is truly important because this is an ancient spiritual stream coming from ancient ages. And it is so that the pouring into the earth of these forces, the pouring into the earth of this blood, the pouring into the earth of this light, this rejuvenating form, is a necessity also for our own nutrition, for our own ability to sustain ourselves. So there we have Venus, who really, as Christian Rosenkreutz says of her, as she lays there upon her bed, he says of her that he can't tell if she's dead or alive because she looks so fresh. And it is also for our students that if you go into your meditation because you've absorbed these teachings and you've been able to strengthen your soul, the experience of the students in the spiritual world is such that as they go out of their body and they look upon that which is the body of their own being, they can perceive it from the outside because of these illuminating lights, and the gods reveal it to you as being healed. And so you look at yourself and you say, look at how fresh I am. And you can perceive how the gods are freshening your being. This is how the students of the Rosenkreutz Institute experience the descending forms of the cosmic spirit. Why does the cosmic spirit come into the students in the first place? It is because things have to be consummated within a human lifetime to show people upon this earth, to bring it about that these things occur. There are many people that cannot come to bring their consciousness, just the smallest little part of themselves, into this knowledge because, for the simple reason that they believe that enlightenment is really a picture. They get a picture of it, and then they perceive and say, well, I must be enlightened. But it's the same as if you were to look at the picture of nature and say, here I have a picture of a sunset, why should I go out and look at the sunset? But there is a big reason to go out and look at the sunset, because something is going to happen out of your interaction with the powers of nature. Something really marvelous can happen out of that. But with a photograph, you can never expect to have anything but that experience, which perhaps can inspire you in some way or another, but not the same as if you go out into the very, very depths of the world. So these are two very important considerations for us, and I want you to take them into your soul. So you see, it is that the spiritual beings want you to see with your own soul what the soul does in its perceiving, in its capacity to perceive when the soul is illuminated by the light of the spirit. It is here that the mineral form of the inner being begins to glow. Here it is that the minerals of the physical body begin to become ensouled. It is here that the physical body begins to release itself as a spiritual body in a metamorphosing state. It is here that you feel that your own being is able to manage itself in the process of its metamorphosis. And this metamorphosis is experienced as a colorful process. We experience the organs of us just as we do when we go to the markets, and there we see all the fruits and all their beautiful colors. This is to give you the incentive. The spirit of nature has given you the incentive by making the fruits of the fruit trees. It says, here are the incentives for your own transformations. Here is the food for that. Now, that food is never to be actually in any way but a picture for you. There is no way to sit in a garden and just eat the fruits and then you will become metamorphosed. What you will become is something we really don't want to mention. Actually, you begin to look like a fruit, you might say. If we were to tell you the results of that, well, obviously, then you would become disappointed, wouldn't you? And many people do. They become extremely disappointed with that which is in the earth and doesn't really progress them. And they try and they try. And the fact is they enjoy trying. So this is an enchantment that nature has produced and has a grip and a hold on the human soul. The secrets of alchemy, my friends. This is the secret of alchemy. The secrets of alchemy is that alchemy is not about producing gold, or gold that in an egotistical way is going to give you exactly what every human being wants, and that is the freedom, perhaps, let's say, from the master, freedom from the government, freedom from anybody, because they feel that the gold will give it to them. The proof of it is in the face upon the gold. And it appears to be so. But it is really an illusion, my friends. The gold cannot do this for us. In fact, the gold will get us in trouble. It will make it into a covetable thing. But I want you to understand this much, that no man can steal from you your knowledge. No human being can take from you the knowledge that you've gained. All of you in this school that have worked hard for this knowledge, one thing is that this treasure cannot be taken away from you, nor can it be stolen. It is also true that no matter what happens to you, you can access this spiritual work. Now, why? It's because that which streams down into you is a cosmic form, and you create within you the atmosphere. The atmosphere that comes from your breath is restoring the earth. The earth wants that atmosphere. The earth uses that atmosphere to create health for the earth. And so the earth becomes healthy. In the Grail legends, it was said that where the Grail was, there also streamed forth healing forces. There it was on the spot where the Grail was, that there stream down spiritual forces from above. People said that when the Grail shined, the stars above the place were different than stars above a place just a few feet from that place. And so it is that we've experienced that in our school. Often our students have remarked about how the stars look so different there above the school that we have. Now, these are things that no one can actually say are incorrect, because it is something that does happen. The spiritual workings of these things takes time. It took many years to develop it in such a way that the atmosphere was able to take hold. This is a spiritual atmosphere of a very, very, very special kind. When you are full of this atmosphere and this comes through contemplating. And how? That is one of the mysteries, but it's easy to understand. In listening, the creative form, that creation which is in a musical form, the sounding, the audio, this means that within your own being, you in your own being are understanding how the word is formed, how that word is formed in a body, and how that body has formed itself in a certain way to gain that fire, to gain that water, to gain that air and that earth in that certain way. And these are truly the aspects of alchemy. So when we say the word is the creative word, and this creative word is now with you because you feel within yourself the creation of the word. By creating and recreating this space within yourself, you see within yourself. You see the space. You make the space in your own being. And then it is that you are not prey. You are not prey to those enchanting forces of nature which would steal away from you your soul. It would steal away from those persons of the 16th century of the Rosicrucian development, as they thought they could just go out into the forms and forces of nature. What occurred because of it was the retaliation of the nature spirits themselves. The human being unleashes terrible forces in the worlds of nature if they're not prepared. It has been my task to prepare you in such a way so that you could bring it about that there is the sacrifice. And this sacrifice is represented in these four flames on the altar. Upon this altar and around this altar is the lying down form of Venus. And what it says there, before you enter this crypt of her, it says in the inscription that here lies the beautiful Venus, who has drained much of fortune of kings and princes, much in the way of fortune, much in the way of their lives as well. It's because Venus, in her old form, was not able to bring it about that human beings could serve her in the correct way. But now we have here this in a different form in our modern age. As beautiful as she is when we see her, as if you could see her, then Cupid appears when Christian Rosenkreutz tries to understand what the four flames are from the page and can't find out. Of course, we've explained it to you what this is. And I hope this is satisfactory for this time. We can come back to this as well. And we have spoken about it in other lectures, in our first part of the chemical wedding. But here Cupid pricks Christian Rosenkreutz's hand, and blood comes out. Now this is important for us to relate in this symbol. And this symbol is that by seeing this form of the naked Venus, this beautiful form, and he says, no more exquisite creature, no more exquisite creature can be found in nature. And that means that there is an ache within us. There is something of an ache that comes when we find that the most beautiful woman, which would be Helen upon the earth, is suddenly with us. So it is that there is an ache that goes with that too. So when we contemplate what this really means for us, we can lose a little bit of blood as males. And that is because there's pressure within our being. Pressure that forms because there's too much of an attraction there. It's an amazingly powerful attraction, my friends. And if anybody feels that I'm overrating this, well, they don't understand really what is the battle within the human soul. And so in the ancient ages, sure, we could say, here is the beautiful Helen upon the earth. But there they show that this Helen brings about war and fighting, people fighting over her. But now the spirit, in response to this, has been able to create a love between the disciples. There we have Jesus coming, and he has his 12 disciples, and he gives them the power, he gives them the command to love one another. And then the disciples, for their skills, begin to do this. But there also breaks out problems within them. So it is that Christian Rosenkreutz is alone in this particular story, the chemical wedding. He is now alone. And this author, Valentin Andre, is saying, portraying to us as an artist, he's saying, here, look at this spirit, this idealistic spirit, but he is alone, my friends. And here, look at, these are the learned men. These are what the learned men want to do. And they take the whole aspect of this grim world of the Middle Ages, which had reached that point where it had humbled the human soul to this level where it was ready to receive this capacity to see Venus there, ready to bring her to life, ready to bring her to awaken again. But then if she does come awake, here's the question, my friends. You probably already intuited this question. If she does come awake, who shall she wed? Who shall she be for? Now, That is a question in one sense, but we can also give you a very satisfactory answer. Now, I'm going to present this to you tonight, and I hinted at it in the previous lecture last night. And that is that the spirit of nature has seven, in terms of the number seven, that means many. Seven is a term for the multiplication. It is the term for that which can be in perpetuity. The number seven is the fact that our spiritual knowledge, when it's purified, when it is purified to the point where it attracts, where it appears above us and then is attracted to us, when that knowledge has gone out of us as virginal forces, when it has arrived in the cosmic worlds and then streams back down to us as love streams. The gods create this, and there in the heavens is the feminine form that begins to reflect itself within the material. If the material itself, that which is in our world, that which can become our bodies, is filled with this form of rejuvenating light as the Grail gives to us, what that means is the females of the world, the females of this particular path of spiritual development, have suddenly, or through their work, an amazing power, a power to discern truth, a power to understand truth through hearing and tasting it. They can taste knowledge. Is that clear, everyone? This knowledge then keeps them pure. It is the knowledge that maintains their spirit. They can both get it from the initiated males, because they know this now. That's what our teaching brings to them. And they can also know it in the spirit of the male in the spiritual worlds, because there are many spiritual beings of the spirit that are given, brought into this temple of the spirit, and given into this order. So that which is known of as the order, or pictured by Valentin André as the order, is in reality now formed out, or visible, now visible to us as the capacity of the feminine stream of the Rosicrucian spirituality to be living beings that come and assist in the arts, in the inspirations. So we're going to tell you now what it was that was in the past of the art is not the same as what's coming in the art. It was the Rosicrucian stream that created the beautiful arts, that which we see of in Bach and a lot of the music of the Middle Ages that we love so much, all the way to the endings of those classical musics. But the streaming of that is very much, we can understand that that is because of that spirit of freedom and beauty, that spirit that then is descending into those human souls that receive it, and they feel it. And so they're gripped by a higher spirit. When men form from below, but do not have that higher spirit entering into them, they become mechanical. They become technical. And so today, men can recreate those things, but they cannot actually create that spirit of them. It's not in mankind to create the spirit of it. It is for those spiritual beings from the realm of the virgins and the order that they give out to inspire the soul. So they come back to become inspiring beings. Human females upon the earth emanate out the correct form of the soul into the earthly environment. And so they begin to multiply the soul power of their own being in a spiritual way. In a literal sense, we can say these are the liberal arts. Liberal, meaning that they are actually from the realm of the spirit. They are liberated. They are liberated from the human realm. They are free from those shackles which human beings place upon them, those so-called laws that human beings call or are so proud of as their discovery. But these laws are not for the human beings. It is really the freedom of the spirit to work into the world that is missing from that. And that is that freedom that the spirit has to work in your karma. That means that love in your karma is going to attach you to the liberal arts. It is because only the spirit of love can actually reform itself into the seven roses, which we see as the representative pictures of the arts that have bled from our blood to become the beautiful forces within the human soul. That which beautifies in us is because the forces have descended into the human being. And the result of that is the creative principle restored within each human soul. That creative principle that restores itself within you also gives you the power of your physical, gives you back to you the ability to see how that power awakens in you. And when your own cosmic form of the day, when your own cosmic creation is spent, in that sense, it's no longer going to be upon this earth in that sense, it removes itself into the heavens. It is by the power of the ascending form of our physical nature that this occurs. And so the four points of the world, which now become a sacrifice, now lead the human soul as light does. As the fragrance ascends, so the human being ascends together with his love and mate into the spirit. With that which loves the human soul, lifts it up. Your form, either in the love experience as mates, kings and queens and so forth, or creating the tree of life, or those which serve. Those are the forms of the liberal arts that are going to join themselves with those souls upon the earth that still need to feel the streaming form of the love come to them. Thank you tonight for listening to this fifth lecture in our series, Enlightenment and Illumination.